Welcome back to Talk Talk Nation. I'm your host, Joe Weber, and I am in a very special warehouse right now with my good friends at Big Time. Guys, thank you so much for having me here.
Joe, thanks for coming,
Thank you for coming here, Joe.
Long distance dap.
It's good
dap,
to... Dap.
I love your space, by the way.
Thank you.
I love the neighborhood. This is Arts District adjacent.
Yeah, we're calling it the Car District.
It's called the Car District. We're next to a bunch of cool car people.
Lean Customs.
Yep.
Automotive School.
Yep. Accelerate Automotive.
Magnus is kind of in your neighborhood.
Yeah, he's right across the bridge. Yeah.
Art of Attack.
Rap Legends.
Yep.
Rap Legends.
And then Big Time.
Yeah.
So for the audio listeners out there, if somehow you grew up under a rock or something, sitting with me right now is Jeremiah Burton, Zachary Job, and Andy Paz. And at one point, you guys all worked at Donut.
That's right.
I think everyone knows that.
It's where we all met.
It's where we formed our lifelong friendship.
Our bonds.
Yeah.
I'd say. We met each other probably the same year, 2019, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You started as a host around the same time Job did.
Yep.
Job flew in from Ohio.
That's right. Yeah, we just passed the 7-year mark of that, actually.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
A couple weeks ago, I think.
Seven. And now you got your homie Mike Day in the background.
Yep.
Who's dropping an F in the chat for the 7-year mark.
7-year mark. It's a big one.
7-year anniversary. Yeah.
But we had actually been interns at a comedy theater together before that. We didn't know each other, but...
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other night. I saw Lou Wilson on...
Yeah. He's on Jimmy Kimmel.
He's on Jimmy Kimmel, and
what
saw
was that?
Him.
UCB or something?
Yeah, so Lou is he's a buddy of ours, and he was an intern at UCB, so we would clean toilets together, and now he...
That's really what the interns do there?
He's like kind the off-camera, off-camera, like... Ed McMahon of Jimmy Kimmel.
He's the, I call him like the voice. It's the guy who announces, you know. And then, but he also is on a show where he does Dungeons and Dragons, right?
Yeah, D20.
Yeah, D20. Yeah. And so.
With a bunch of our homies on that. And they like sell out stadiums. They sold out.
Crazy.
Madison Square Gardens. They sold out Hollywood Bowl. Playing Dungeons and Dragons.
What?
Remember I told you guys this?
We need to get into
something like this. They sold out the Hollywood Bowl and MSG by doing live
for people
Dungeons
to watch them play Dungeons and Dragons. Yes. That's
is there any
wild.
Sort of like other aspect to it, or is it just?
I mean, it's
game
comedic. Like
time.
You have comedians who are. Yeah. It's like a perfect. It's a perfect like place to let a comedian shine because they each have like a character.
Yeah.
And
they don't know what's coming at them because the dungeon master is like giving them wild cards.
Exactly.
And that's fun. Like I love my friends. I went to the Hollywood Bowl one, and I could not hang. Like people were dressed up as the characters because it's like an ongoing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd do something like turn to the audience and be like, and then I grab my apple. And everyone's like, ha, that's so funny. Oh. And I'm like, what are you? And it's like an inside joke from like 10 episodes ago.
I've always wanted to be in on the inside of an inside joke. Maybe one day.
Yeah, one day, dude. One day.
What if we started a LARPing thing, Donut and Big Time? We could do live action role play in Madison Square Garden.
What will we do? Live action role
like
what? Yeah. Like
fight each other.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. LARPing. I thought we could like build cars live.
Yeah.
No.
We did have a Dungeons and Dragons thing that we were spooling up with Iffy, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, I remember Iffy.
That was like every character was a different car. And we like piloted it, and I don't think it really worked, but anyways.
We did a Dungeons and Dragons ad one time. That's as close as I've ever come to plan.
Oh,
that's,
yeah, you made a StarCraft car?
Oh, well, this was on Donut. It was an ad for Hyundai? Or
yeah, I think so. I think it was Hyundai. It was a manufacturer. I think it was Hyundai.
But we shot we were Dungeons and Dragons, me, James, and Job, and I think
Justin, maybe?
Yeah, Nolan or Justin. I can't remember, but it was... long-winded way of saying like we knew each other.
Yeah, so
we knew each other from cleaning toilets at UCB many years ago.
Actually in the same room together?
I don't think so. No. So what happened?
Did you talk at all back then? Or no?
So what happened is like okay. So if you wanted to be like part of the cult that was UCB, mm-hmm. you had to intern there.
Sure.
Yeah. And
you got one class per eight or ten. Work shifts that you
got
did.
A free class, but it really wasn't so much about the free class. It was about like networking
and getting to know people. And
that.
So your penance for that was to
clean
the toilets. Clean
the toilet. That was like one of my responsibilities. You had to take tickets and seat people and do all this stuff.
It felt special at the time.
Yeah,
but really, you were just cleaning toilets.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the cult. You're
and it's like, I mean, that's what you've been looking and trying to do for so long.
Right.
It's like, I'll clean a toilet.
I'm pretty good at cleaning toilets.
I didn't know that, and I just found this out, and this is all, I've only heard this, that UCB has like sort of a MLM vibe a little bit.
MLM?
Yeah, like
oh, multi-level marketing?
Yeah, sign up for Improv 201. I'm going to do it. And like, if you sign up under me, you get me paid or whatever.
I think the culture of it was just, I don't know how it is now. I'm so far removed from it. But like, it was very, you know, like.
It was like, this was the ticket to stardom. This,
yeah.
And if you played by the rules and played the politics well, then you could make it on a house team, which, you know, Aubrey Plaza was on a house team before she got Parks and Rec. And at the time, a lot of people from UCB were making it onto TV.
Yeah.
And so that's what they were using to market.
It seemed like back in the day, you know how like you went on, like if stand-ups got on the Tonight Show and got like, you know, like approved by Johnny Carson or something, like that was a version of what we went through. Like if you got on a house like team.
Almost like a smaller version of SNL, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, And a lot of people went on to go be on SNL, from that. But so like because we were both interns, if you had to have someone cover your shift, you basically had to email everyone, but you couldn't blast email. You had to individually email it. And there's like probably 150 interns.
Yeah.
So I would go, like if I was out of town or something, I couldn't make it, like I would just go through the list and do email everyone. And I believe I hit up Joe probably a few times.
Yeah, I think I hit up you once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I was like, when you started at Donut, I was like, Jeremiah Burton.
Dude, why do I know any toilets for me?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I was cleaning toilets. Just for you, though. Yeah. Joe would go in there and take a shit and be like, not working today, motherfucker. Say it like that, too.
What happened to the UCB, that like the big one?
It closed down. I think they foreclosed or they built it. And
well, they had a $32 million mortgage going into the pandemic. So they
cut it. Who
cut
founded UCB?
It was Amy Poehler, Matt.
Besser.
Ian Roberts.
Ian Roberts and Matt Walsh.
Matt Walsh.
Oh, for some reason, you probably recognize all them. Steve Colbert or something.
No.
He was Second City in Chicago.
Second City.
Anyways.
Hey, this car podcast is all about improv of the late 2000s.
Dude, honestly, we had to cut so much out of the Ralph Barbosa interview because I was like, so how do you write jokes? And we like got into premise talking and stuff like that, but
This is the main audience of this podcast, I'm assuming, car people, right?
Yeah.
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 Let's talk cars.
I want to talk about our origin. We got a lot of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to work my way down.
We got 91 minutes.
Me and Jeremiah met kind of in comedy, but then we started writing together a little bit for B2B.
Yep.
I think I ended up writing a couple scripts during the pandemic for you guys just to like keep my skills sharp.
Yeah.
I remember writing about the VQ.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And how it was like a smooth engine or something.
Real VQ.
All smoothness with the VQ.
sounds great.
Sounds
really smooth. Another break.
We've graduated to VKs around here.
Yeah, we just got a VK, which is the, you know, the V8 version of the VQ that we're building. But
what
was
that in? Like a
Nissan Titan.
A Titan.
Yeah, the Armada.
Some Infinities.
QX56.
Yeah.
Just a bunch. It's a truck engine.
You throwing it in a drift car? Or what are you doing with it?
No, drag we're car. Yeah, trying to drag race.
Yeah.
Wow. We got to figure that out pretty quick.
Are they stout? Are they reliable?
They're really reliable. So I saw a video probably like a year and a half ago of a guy. I got to get his name so I can give him some credit because it was just a real, I think it was on 1320, where a guy was, I think it was in an S chassis, and he was like, oh, it's a VK, it's stock crank, stock block, he does pistons, rods, and a big fat turbo and some off-the-shelf cams, and he was making 1900 horsepower to the wheel. And I was like, shit. holy shit, I go, that's crazy. Yeah. And then I started looking at these trucks, and we found a Titan for $500 with a working engine. And I was like, well, this is like,
perfect.
This is perfect. Yeah. Like, this is right up our alley, you know? Like, and if we blow it up, who gives a crap?
Yeah.
$500,
you know?
And then around the same time, this Throttle Throwdown came up.
Yep.
Which is a big drag racing event in Pennsylvania on May 2nd that Throttle, the YouTube channel, is hosting and inviting some different creators to just do head-to-head drag racing. So we're like, well, let's get a VK and see if we can make four digits of power and take that there.
So this hasn't happened yet.
No,
May 2nd.
Engines and parts over there.
Oh, shit.
Or the build or the car or any. Yeah, no, it's all in the
pretty
early stages. We have 2 months to get a working, functioning drag car ready.
We just took the engine apart a week or two ago, got it cleaned up at a machine shop, and about ready to put it back together.
How was the engine?
It was in pretty gross shape.
Grossest engine.
Very poorly maintained. Even the machine shop commented on it. They're like, this thing's gross.
It was varnish.
So they hot tanked it for us and got it all cleaned up, and it looks pretty good. We still got to take some critical measurements, but I think it's gonna be okay.
No scarring on the.
No scarring. Yeah, no. Everything looks pretty good for how, like, you know, it looked like
$500.
Yeah, right. $500 with the truck.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Which is just collecting.
It's just like shit right there. We put. Well, I'm not gonna say that.
What's this $500 engine going into?
Well,
should we? Yeah, we can tease it. I think we have found it. I don't think the video will be out, but people will now know. We're putting it in an 80s Monte Carlo.
Whoa.
Yeah, dude, baby.
Ralph Barbosa has like 4 Monte Carlos.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I think Monte Carlos are coming back.
Monte Carlos are cool, sick, man. Yes, they're very cool.
And it's, you know, classic like drag racing chassis, and we're going to stick a Japanese V8 in it and see what happens.
Dude, that's crazy. Moving on to Joby.
What's up?
You came in 2019.
Yep.
I was tasked with being your like writing supervisor.
Oh yeah.
And I think we realized pretty early on that you're better to just wing it.
Yeah.
and I've always said like you're one of the best people I've ever worked with on camera. You can just synthesize information and put it in layman's terms.
Damn.
On like in the snap of a finger.
Well, thanks, man. That's
one of your best talents.
I appreciate that. That's just how my brain works. I gotta put it into layman's terms for myself. So, you know, doing it for the camera is just second nature.
But we bonded pretty quick because we both skate.
That's
and
right.
That was like a big part of the donut culture.
Skating
at the time.
Up and down the alley at the old office. Yeah.
And of course, Andy on the end. I don't want to forget you. Andy, we also bonded over food, I think, when you first started at Donut.
Yes.
We used to watch Formula One and make quiches.
Yes, we did. And we
quiches.
Did it multiple times.
Yeah.
Wow.
Multiple times.
Andy recently made a beef Wellington in the bathroom here.
Yeah, I made a beef Wellington.
Is that code
we'll
for something?
The clip right here.
No.
It came out really good.
Beef Wellington in the bathroom is a... they use it at all sorts of nightclubs.
Do you want me to run you through what I did?
Yeah.
So Jeremiah... for the holidays, surprised me. He got me a Komodo Joe, like the little green egg, but the red version. Komodo Joe.
Komodo Joe, yeah.
And I was like, no way. And immediately put to like insane use. Like I was grilling on it like 4 or 5 times a week at one point.
Why is it? It just has like good insulation. Why is it so special?
It's
ceramic,
like
an
oven,
and it can get up to like 800 degrees.
Yeah,
we had it can get down to like 120 degrees, and you slow cook.
Yeah,
like,
it's, smoker.
Yeah,
it just like stays at a consistent temperature for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got that insulation.
So we had this Gran Turismo 24-hour stream, and we're all like, "What do we do?" So there's other things going on besides watching us take turns going around the Nürburgring.
Yeah. So Andy's like, I'll make a beef Wellington.
Yeah, I'm like, I'll make a beef Wellington on stream. And I've never made a beef Wellington before. And I didn't even look up a recipe. I've just seen it so many times made. And I'll tell everyone at home, it's not that hard. It's not that difficult.
It came together pretty well.
So I went and got tenderloin, right?
Of course.
Obviously.
Yep.
I took it out of the package, I butchered it, took the silver skin membrane off, and I made it into like a tube. Then I took puff pastry and mushrooms.
Did you sear it first?
Yeah. Okay, so that's why I mentioned that. I seared it on the Komodo Joe, and that was the first thing I ever made on
that. And that was probably at like midnight.
Yeah.
The stream started at like 11 a.m.
Are you making the beef Wellington?
It kept getting kicked down the road.
Well, they didn't realize that, okay... A big thing about the beef Wellington is you need to sear the beef and you need to make your duck sell.
And then you got
to
let it rest.
You have to let it cool down or it's going
to you have to wrap it up.
You're going to melt
cool
the butter.
In the
you're
going to
melt the butter in the puff pastry. And they did not understand that.
Yeah.
They did
so
not
they're
understand
like,
that.
Oh,
it's
I'll
been
be 45 minutes. Where's my beef Wellington?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
no,
I'll be honest. There was
started.
A point where I was like, beef Wellington's not happening.
Yeah. So around like 3 a.m. or whatever, I had it cooking off in the toaster oven. It was plugged into the bathroom because we kept short circuiting and dropping the stream.
We had so much shit plugged into this place. It looked like we were going to the
Yeah, and one of the shortcomings
like
of
Apollo
this building
it was
is
insane.
The number of outlets. We've got like 4. So we had everything just.
Well, we upgraded. Our electricity has recently been upgraded, which is good. But,
tell me about the space that we're in right now.
This is it's around 6,500 square foot. It's got 2 portions. We call the front the store. So we're opening up an actual storefront. I'm not going to say the date yet, but it's going to be in sometime soonish. Yeah. And then this is the back half is the shop workspace. So we have one single lift right now and a bunch of broken cars kind of like
it's about half and half right now.
Yeah.
As I look around, Camaro's broken. Mustang is broken.
Okay.
Gabe's car kind of just like
it's broken. If it doesn't run, it doesn't count.
But Jeep broken. Okay, one not more. Jeep is not broken, but yeah. The 8.6 shell is broken. Jeep
that you bought at auction.
Yeah, all right, so we got three working cars, four not working cars.
Yeah, so right. We bought that Willie CJ2A from Barrett Jackson for $7,000.
That's a deal.
We went there with the goal of trying to buy the cheapest car possible, and I'm not joking. That thing f-ing rips, dude.
It's our favorite car. Can you do a wheelie in it?
Yeah, I bet you we could put all the boys in the back. Yeah, for sure. I bet you could pop a wheelie. Sure. Yeah, it's super fun. It's just like, I can't wait. Now's the perfect time to drive it, too.
Yeah, it's so fun to putt around the town, and we use it as like a shop truck in here, pull stuff around, move stuff. It's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Well, also the race car up front's broken, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The race car is broken,
too. That's a real race car. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that the one that you drove to the...
Smorgasbord. Yeah,
but we did have a pass from the DMV.
The DMV allowed me to drive that legally on the street,
as well as the shell of the 8.6 as well.
Wow, that's so nice of them. Yeah. What's wrong with your eye?
Nothing. The DMV is surprisingly nice to me lately. They let us shut the street down the other day and have Eddie do burnouts, which was cool.
Oh, that's fun.
It's pretty. In Car District, we have also different rules in Car District because everyone is, you know, everyone gets it, you know, we're car people.
That's the slogan of Car Town.
We get it, brother. And you know what? I'm guessing you guys still have to battle sound issues with
the airplanes, planes. The neighbors.
We've been kind. I mean, knock on wood, dude. It's been there's some events in the back, but other than that, this has been a pretty good. So I hope this audio works out for you. But essentially, going back to our spot, we're going to build out into some sort of podcast space eventually. We have racks and stuff coming to organize a little bit better and just kind of get it more built out.
Yeah.
It's very much a work in progress and will be for a little while, but that's part of the fun, you know?
Yeah.
So you're planning a podcast. What's the podcast going to be about?
I don't know. I just know that there's stuff we want to talk about, you know?
And I have a good working title name for it as well.
What's that?
It's called Watch Me Crash Out.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Well, it's funny because people now say crash out, like, oh, he crashed out or whatever. But in MotoGP, what do they say when they crash?
I crashed.
He crashed out.
So
oh, he's crashed
oh
out
God,
of the
he's
race.
Crashed out.
He's crashed out.
So, out of context, it's quite funny for anyone listening. So. We could also change the name. I don't care.
No, that's pretty good.
No, dude, you can't back out now. Our next podcast crashed out.
Are you guys here on the weekends all the time working?
I wasn't here this weekend, which is pretty rare.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually, this is a fun place to be. Yeah. So, it's not so, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when we first started at Donut and got the new shop down there. You know, I was there all the time.
I was thinking about what I would call like the lawless era.
Oh, yeah.
When the kids were running to school.
The first time I ever brought Emily to the office, I was like, where is everyone? And we walk in the back and everyone is shirtless shooting BBs at glass bottles.
Yeah, dude. And like the pellet gun.
Just boy stuff, man.
Kenan had just like eaten shit on the one wheel and was like bleeding.
Yeah.
Bro, we played. There was a period of time where it was like we had BB guns, we had pellet guns, we had
paintball guns.
Yep. We had the one wheels, which were just like collarbone busters. Uh-huh.
Yeah. We had the crazy carts.
We had the crazy carts.
I wrecked one into Christina Z3. I paid like $2,800 to get that fixed.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
We did. We played wall ball.
I was gonna say a football ball.
Wall ball. Yep. Yeah, we would throw the football like with just like no care. I mean, reckless. I remember there were times where I would just we had a soccer ball and I would just kick it as hard as I could.
Yeah,
like,
there's soccer balls hitting cars all the time.
All the time.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Big thanks to our sponsor this week, 5-Hour Energy. Confetti Craze 5-Hour Energy shots taste just like birthday cake. Vanilla and buttery flavors to let you be unapologetically extra and unstoppably energized. All cake, no sugar. You can have your cake and sip it too, minus any sugar guilt. Cakeify your day with a quick, easy, and portable tasty caffeine boost. The Funfetti flavor is back on 5hourenergy.com or Amazon. Crack open Confetti Craze 5-Hour Energy shot today.
Now back to the show.
Well, let's talk about the YouTube channel so far. You guys are having a lot of success. Mm-hmm. What have been like the biggest challenges of the last, what, 2 years now? Almost 2 years?
It'll be a full, well, I guess we launched the channel when we were still at Dona. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Independent, we've been just over a year yeah. and 3 months almost.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, I think like, I'll just speak for like personally, I think like the biggest thing is like there's so many aspects to running a business that is not just the creative side of coming up with videos, you know, yeah. like
sales.
Exactly. For us, like when we were working together, like in writing and like in pitch meetings and like that's your job. Your whole job is just how do you come up with the most creative, fun video? And then, you know, like we were also kind of one man bands where we would go off and produce it, you know, yeah. like eventually we had help and that's how we got it. But now it's like, you still have to do that, focus on that. And then also run the business, you know, like,
yeah.
which is, you know, like the YouTube money only pays so much.
Sure.
You have to go get sponsorships. You got to be able to like run an efficient merch business. If you're trying to get that going, you got to like go meet new clients. You got to go, you know, like,
and you're also like hosting Red Bull videos and stuff like
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That, and that's like a larger play at like trying to build the brand, you yeah. know, like Red Bull makes us look great. We make Red Bull look great, you know, like, so like working with more clients like that. And, you know, like one of the things too, is trying to build up like the production arm of Big Time to where yeah. it's like, if we want to go and shoot a video for Red Bull, we don't even need to host it, you know, like,
yeah,
no, we can just contract the boys. Contract
so you're trying to do more, just commercial shoots like that.
I just think like in today's age of, you know, like nothing is for certain. Like, sure. I don't know if the YouTube ad gods and videos are always going to like produce. So like, you know, a lot of the meetings we have and a lot of the meetings I take are always about like, hey, how do we get the stuff that we already worked really hard on and get it out to like different places? Like, you know, like YouTube's one thing, but there's Facebook, there's TikTok, there's Instagram, there's Samsung TV, there's Tubi, there's Pluto. You know,
yeah, you like, doing any fast channel?
Yeah, that's like the next step. I think we've built up like a pretty big, good catalog right now to where we can start going and having those conversations and, you know, trying to build out the channel that way. There's just yeah. like so many different like pieces. Like that's just been the most difficult thing yeah. is like learning like, hey, how do you like manage all of this
yeah.
and, you know, like keep the shit moving forward and also like being, you know, like, you know how it goes. Like you're trying to do a video a week.
Coordinating with freelancers is insane and,
sure.
and trying yeah. to like watch edits and
coordinating with us. It took us yeah. a month to get back to yeah. you to do this. So I, you know,
it's hectic.
Yeah. yeah. No, but I knew that that's why I wasn't like pressing it too hard. Cause I see all the stuff that you guys do and I'm like, I'm just going to let it breathe. And yeah. whenever they're ready, they can let me know.
Well, here we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot to keep a video coming out every week. There's 8 of us. So it's not like there's a huge network of people to fall back on. We
yeah.
just have to make it happen. Another big constraint up until a few months ago was space. You know, we were doing this out sure. of my house.
I wanted to ask you about that because that ended up kind of being a problem for you, not only with neighbors,
mm-hmm.
but like that's where your car got stolen outside of, right?
That's true.
Yeah, car that got is true. Stolen out of it. I mean,
I don't know if there's any sort of relationship between it being outside of my house that has been on YouTube a bunch.
Yeah.
Or if that was just happenstance. Because you want to yeah. tell a story about how like that comes to be?
Yeah, I mean, so I think, yeah, I mean, real quick about Joby's like house. Like, yeah, that was a big thing that eventually, like why we did waited so long, I don't quite understand.
Trying to stack up a couple bucks.
I guess yeah. so. Yeah. I mean, like we got this place and to be fair, like we were all looking for spots to go yeah. to.
We like, probably it wasn't like checked we were, out 20 or 30 spots before finding this place.
Right.
And to be honest, we're getting a smoking deal on this place.
Yeah.
That's
compared
awesome.
To so, all the other places.
I think you found the right
at.
Spot.
For sure.
Yeah, it's good.
It comes with its hurdles. Like, you know, getting a car in and out of here is tough. Some of the electrical is not like what
did
we want.
Did you say it
to
comes
be.
With the turtles?
Yeah, it comes with its turtles.
Comes with a couple turtles.
You know. Turtle.
Like the enough kind of turtle you have to jump over.
Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly.
I think that's why the world is not real. because they looked at so many different places. And it just, like, what are the odds that this opened, we're the first people to look at it, and then every one of our neighbors is cool and works in cars? Like, Job and I went to look at some offices.
Some real uglies.
And we go inside, and it's, like, a fully padded room. And the lady's like, yeah, they make clothes in here. I'm like, this is a grow house. Yeah. Why are we here? And then, we found this place.
Yeah, so. And to Andy's credit, I mean, we found this place because he asked a friend that was renting a place if he knew of any other places. And he was like,
Will, right?
Yeah, Will from Rap Legends, exactly. Who also wraps cars at Donut.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it's just this big community of car adjacent brands that really led us to finding this place.
And when Andy sent me the video of the place for the first time, as we've been hot on the trail trying to find a place, he sends me the video to this place, and I was just like,
well, let's just say you didn't need a blue chew then.
No, I was like, Andy, what, we're not trying to spend $15,000 a month. This place was like way nicer than any other place, but they're within our budget, so it ended up working out. But
So I asked a million questions and we're answering them.
Oh, we were talking about the car.
Yeah.
Oh. So the car getting stolen.
Oh yeah. That wasn't so much, it wasn't like,
I'm gonna go pee real quick.
It wasn't like, oh, the people saw where we were and then like thought about, oh, I'm gonna go and take that car.
Yeah.
No one even knew about the car. Like, we didn't even...
You didn't reveal it?
No one...
It
was just I bought it, one, because I got a crazy good deal on it. And I was like, I'll probably flip this and make some money. I'll drive it for a couple months. And then I was like... And then I went to SEMA and I talked to some guys. And I, like, mentioned I had one. They were like, oh, we would love to, like, build this with you and pay you to do it and make some videos. And I was like, oh, sick, you know?
C7-06,
right? Damn. So
that's a ripper, Andy.
It was very cool. I saw it once.
Yeah, I drove it three times. Like, oh, man, you know, and then it got swooped. But so we made a video about it getting stolen. We
got a billboard up.
Yeah, we got a billboard. and I said, "We will find you." Made a T-shirt, which was really funny. Andy designed like one of those like funeral shirts with like the angel wings on the card. The
airbrush.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Similar to the pop-up headlight.
Yeah.
You know.
And so we, the racket is kids in Job's area. Like, they have a Discord channel, and on the Discord channel, if you tag a car that people are looking to steal, they pay you money.
Oh, that's
So, like, kids just go around and be like, oh, here's a Corvette here, here's a Camaro here, here's a Hellcat here, blah, blah, blah. And if someone ends up stealing it, then you get $100, right?
Dude,
and you don't even thing. So, like, it's just a way of tagging where thieves can go steal cars. So I believe that's what happened. And so I'm not with 100% certainty, but pretty sure we know the guy who did it, and figuring out whether or not what we want to do to move forward. Like, the initial reaction is just like, you know, this kid.
Yeah,
but
I think
also,
the initial reaction is we do nothing. We are doing nothing.
See. But Andy's risk adverse.
I'm very
risk averse. Yeah. I'm more like,
check with the DMV first before we do
it. The police gave us a pass. But anyways, the cops had come here and just like, yeah, you can't do anything about it. And I was like, well, what if we just whip his ass? And they're like, well, that's your decision.
You're gonna put this on a podcast. Yeah,
whatever.
It was just that we were just thinking about it.
We're just thinking. I'm not doing anything. I mean, I'm not like,
I was thinking about it in Minecraft. This is all in Minecraft, everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In Minecraft.
God,
do you want anyone else to hop in for a second? We want to chat with
everyone. The hot seat has been filled by what's your name?
Hot seat's been filled by Phil.
Phil, yes. Nice. This is Felipe Armenta.
Phil,
the one and only.
Phil was probably Donut employee number 14 or so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what year did you start?
I started in 2017. So, at the time, Eddie was still
the office manager
at the front.
Yeah.
So it was quite a while ago.
And you've been on my podcasts more than any of these guys. I think you filled in a lot.
Yeah, I think towards you guys were so busy towards the end, and I finally I think I ended up somehow on the podcast.
In. That's cool.
Yeah,
I mean, I loved it, dude.
Well, dude, back in the saddle again.
What's up, guys? But yeah,
and you used to. So let's just run through Phil's history. You started as an editor, right?
I was an intern.
Okay.
So when I got there was like a group of just interns, and I was driving up from San Diego to Donut to do my internship, and eventually Matt offered me a job. So yeah, I jumped on board. at the time, I took Nolan's seat. I'm never going to forget that because I got to the office and they're like, oh yeah, this dude's gone, but just use his seat. And here's his like parking card. And Nolan was so pissed when he came back. He's like, whose stuff is this? And like, where's my? And I was like, Nolan, hi, I'm Felipe.
That's hi, sorry. Nolan.
That was back when he was still an intern,
that was
right?
Nolan. Yeah, Nolan was an intern and he was just doing like writing assignments and editing at the time. I think all of us, you know, except for you guys, I think we all dipped into editing, writing, whatever it was, but mostly editing.
Yeah, I think back in the startup days, everyone had to wear a ton of hats and kind of be like
you
everything.
Had to. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, because we were doing, I mean, it got to a point where it was like donut every day. Remember that hellscape?
Yeah. That, was insane. That was a crazy time. I was thinking about that. You know? Like,
and that was pretty coincidental with COVID, right?
It was, yeah. It was like, I mean, donut.
We started it maybe before COVID. Yeah.
Right. But during COVID, it was because I remember I filmed out of my garage. You were obviously filming out of your garage.
Yeah, you had like a little sweat oven.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Filled with 17 motorbikes.
It was just filled with bikes. And I had to film at night because it was so hot. And I still.
And you were writing like 12 hours a day.
Bro, I didn't know. I'd wake up, write like nonstop, you know, like research scripts. It was like.
Is it tomorrow yet?
And it was
technical ass shit.
Yeah, it was
too.
Technical very shit. Technical. I mean, I remember the first ones Phil and I were working on together, they were like 30-minute episodes. And this was before we were making 30-minute videos. Yeah. Like they were serious.
Everything else was like 15 to 17.
Yeah. Right. And especially to fill 30 minutes with just talking head about technical things, that's like thousands of words.
Especially when we moved from, that was like, that's when Jesse asked me, he's like, we need to like reinvent bumper to bumper because we can't go look at cars.
You're doing all this graphic stuff too and like teaching yourself graphics.
Well, Jared was doing like, you know, the writing the 12 hours and then shooting at night. I was driving out to get all the B-roll, get everything. Then I would go to Jared's house, pick up whatever he shot, go home, start editing. Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, and he basically had to turn a 30-minute episode every week.
Every week.
It's
which
crazy.
Is insane.
It's crazy. Yeah. It I mean, it was a crazy, crazy thought to
and
be
And then
able
Kanan
to do that.
Got brought on the B2B team too, right?
Well, I worked with Phil.
Claire,
that's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I also worked with Alex, Ignacio.
Ignacio, mm-hmm. Sarah.
Sarah, but Fairfield? No, but she didn't really run B2B, like direct.
She was writing, she was mostly writing
Tiernan. Was a writer.
Tiernan was a writer, but I'm trying to think of the people who,
the
like
crew?
Zach Redpath.
Yeah.
Like we went through it, and then Kanan came through. Yeah, so they had cycled. It was, I think it was 114 or 116 weeks straight of B2B. Yeah.
That's insane.
It was nuts, you know?
And then at the same time, you're fixing the Money Pit Miata every week.
Yep.
You're doing like the same amount of work, but like, fab work and
engine
swapping
lift forever
just like, at my house with whatever tools I happen to have and,
I just still remember that like when the jack came loose and it almost rolled over
The jack didn't come loose. I put it down on purpose, just forgot I didn't have the e-brake.
Oh god.
Well, there was that, and then I think we were talking about it this morning. Do you remember doing the E36 manual swap? And that transmission, dude, I think that transmission job almost killed
me. Dude, I'll never forget that, because my hand got super infected because that was the day I got the magnet put in my hand, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And so the next day, I had to cut a hole in the side of the transmission because I got a clutch from ECS and the wrong clutch disc was in the right box. And so it like friction welded itself to the back of the crankshaft. So I couldn't take the transmission off. So I had to like cut a hole in the side of the transmission to undo the clutch pressure plate so that I could get the pressure plate off.
Oh my God.
And, get the pressure plate off. And in doing that, I just packed this fresh, deep wound full of clutch junk.
Oh, no.
And then the next morning I woke up and my hand was bright red and like two
Mickey's
times
hand,
the size.
Yeah. What the hell?
And that night, Job's just wrestling the transmission on the ground. So, oh man.
Just for anyone who doesn't know, Zach got like a really strong magnet put in his the webbing of his thumb so he can put little like screws
bolts.
And bolts.
Yeah, I thought it'd be pretty cool. I was wrong. You want to know how often I use it?
That sounded like the Joker.
Never.
Being, want to know how many scars?
Want to know how?
Yeah. I'm the Joker, baby.
That's a joke.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
a Joker, baby.
Almost cost me my hand.
So, all right. Where do we leave off? We're all going crazy during the pandemic, and yes. we're working.
We're redoing B2B. We're redoing. Yeah.
We're doing a show a day.
We're doing a show a day, which means ourselves. That there's like seven teams of people
yeah.
fervently trying to get an episode together every week.
And it's COVID, so you can't talk to anyone. Yeah. There's no social interaction.
Right, so it's simultaneously also the strangest time ever.
Yeah. You don't know if the world's going to end. It's this like weird dystopian like thing where LA is essentially empty.
Yeah,
you know?
Empty. Super weird. Right?
Yeah, I remember driving up and down the 405 by myself. Yeah. I think in like the third maybe episode of Money Pit, I was wearing like a full like respirator to be outside because that was like what you were supposed to do. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then we did like an episode on like killing germs.
Yeah, we did disinfecting. Yeah, that was
God. It was weird. So there's like a handful of like things that if you look back, it's like, oh, we did that just because of what was happening in the world at the time.
Period, correct.
Yeah, it's a weird era.
Yeah.
And it also was weird because like we got so many followers during that period.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, if you were a content creator, I mean, think of all the content creators now that came out of COVID who just like exploded. Yeah. It was such a crazy time for growth. I mean, we went from, I think I started at Donut with like, I think it was right over 1 million. So I remember seeing us get hit to 2 and then 3. And it was like every 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were flying. We were getting a million new subscribers.
It was like 150 plus thousand a month.
I mean, we got numb. I remember like, 6 million, 7 million.
Well, but I also remember like not feeling real. It like didn't. It was like, okay, I guess
know,
this is
yeah. You didn't know what
numbers
mil-
on the screen.
You didn't know what 7 million meant because you were around, you know, like maybe at most 10 people, and during
most,
that time, it was like on an occasion where everyone was masked up and 6 foot away from each other.
I'll never forget the like moment that it started to land for me. It was, I don't know exactly when, but it was probably like early summer of 2020, and I took the Miata out because there were a ton of riots going on downtown, like.
Yeah.
All the George BLM. Floyd stuff was going on. And so I took the Miata out just to drive around. I like hadn't been out and about in a while. And I just wanted to see what was going on in the city. And I ended up accidentally like in the middle of the shit. So there's like hundreds of SWAT officers like lining both sides of the road. And I'm just driving down with the top down.
You're on our side, right?
No, dude, I was just trying to get
the Miata with a painter's mask. Yeah. And you're like, oh, what's he going to do? And jumps in there. I bet you I could run these people over.
No, dude, I drove through a ton of like active fires, people throwing stuff on fire.
Whoa.
Like the riots. And then I get through it. I'm like, oh my God, that was insane. And then a car screeches up next to me at a red light. And I'm like, oh. And it's some dude going, Joe, yo, I love Money Pit. And I was just like, what?
What in the world?
Just unbelievable. So that was the moment I was like, oh yeah, I guess there's people out there watching it. But it was such a strange like first interaction with a fan.
Yeah. I mean, that is crazy because we started like pretty close to the beginning of the pandemic.
Yeah, yeah. I think Money Pit came out. There was one episode maybe before COVID kind of launched.
And we hung out as a group in the old office a lot.
Yep.
And then like everything shut down.
Yeah,
we
got
even
all split
closed
up.
The office.
Yeah, got rid of the office.
So like seeing someone that recognized you that you don't know.
Yeah, and I had never really had that happen because, you know, like I had been in some other videos and stuff, but I didn't have my own thing. And yeah, it was just a really surreal moment.
Yeah.
Like the world burning around me and some guy coming up to congratulate me on my YouTube show. It was crazy.
You're really just crazy. Driving through like with SWAT
in this piece of shit Miata with the top down. He's like,
and then he just chucks a Molotov cocktail.
No, literally a flying piece of whatever flew over me as I was driving pictures. Through. It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy.
That's insane.
So I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Weird time,
yeah,
man.
Very weird.
Absolutely crazy.
How many
time.
Subscribers do you have at Big Time right now?
1.88.
We're at 1.88.
Yeah, 1.88.
So closing in on 2 million.
Yeah.
And you got 1 million very quickly,
yeah, in
right?
7 days.
7 days, yeah. It took 7 days for us to hit a
million. Yo, and you want to know what? On that topic, I saw Steve Will Do It. You guys are all familiar, yeah? Got back on YouTube recently, and it took him like 10 days.
Oh, 10 days to get 1 million subscribers.
Wow, look at that. It was awesome. I think people thought it was fake. I think people there was a lot of early chatter being like, "Oh, they bought them." And we were just like,
everyone thought we had bots.
Yeah, we didn't have bots.
It just didn't feel I think I was cleaning drives and I found I had a video of everyone at the old office where like Matt staring at the TV and we had the counter at Donut.
Yeah.
And we were like at 800,000. And I remember we stayed up the whole night. I think James and Bart were like somewhere doing something in Florida for NASCAR. So all like video chatting while we're about to hit 1 million. And I was like, that took forever, at least in my head.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Of course, yeah. I mean, we got lucky to, yeah. because, you know, we already course, had that course. Audience. So
extremely lucky.
We're just asking people to come over. Yeah. Than,
to come so, watch.
Yeah, 7 days was
yeah. insane. Days which was, I, it blew all of our expectations out of the water, I'd say.
Yeah.
We were like, I mean, it'd be cool to get a couple hundred thousand by the end of the year.
That's what we were hoping. We're like, listen, get a couple hundred K, man.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Has that helped you scale up faster than you thought possible?
Undoubtedly, I'd say. I think for like sponsorships and stuff, it just looks, you know.
Yeah, I think like, you know, like obviously the sales side of it is a big part and like the marketing of your channel. It always looks good when you tell people like, you know, like
bigger number.
Yeah, and I never reference people as like subs because I think like we're in a unique position to
But you do call yourselves doms though.
We do. Yeah. We do. We're Dom Daddy Dollars. Yeah.
Sometimes dollar.
Don't say that's Trick Daddy.
Only on the street.
But yeah, I mean like we have like genuine like fans and people that support us. You know, they're not just subs. I think like we do a good job of trying to, you know, like that's why we do a lot of live events and stuff. Yeah. Like we like seeing our fans and meeting them and like trying
being
to
part of the community.
Being part of like growing this car community because, you know, that's what I always loved about Donut. And I still do. It was like, you know, like it was what attracted me to it. Cause I was not necessarily like a huge car guy. Like I liked cars. Guy. Yeah. I like motorcycles. I like cars, like driving cars, but I wasn't like a car nerd, you know, like I was an engineer, but I love the fact that everyone was like, you know, all cars are cool. And like, there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think like
the welcoming nature of it.
Right. And I feel like that's something that has been super important to us because there are, you still like, certain like car clubs and like they get clicky and they talk shit about other people and like I get like there's like some fun nature to it but at the end of the day it's just like hey like you're trying to just build this thing up and you know like pass it on to the next person and you know like that's why I like doing the track day stuff because like tracks are dying and it's something that I think is like super like you meet so many good people and like interesting people and
it's the community
the community aspect of it is huge
and that's one of our biggest drivers I think is trying to you know pass the torch on to the next generation keep this car community thing alive because in some ways it feels like, you know, the further we move forward and new cars coming out aren't as conducive to the kind of stuff that we like to do.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to, you know, pass the torch to the next generation and show like them that not only is this cool, but you could also like work in this field and make a living.
That's awesome. I think that's a great message.
We'll be right back after these messages. Fellas, you already know what time it is. It's time to level up, and Blue Chew just dropped something crazy. I'm talking next level, championship belt, gold-plated energy. Blue Chew Gold is the newest innovation from the number one chewable ED brand. This is the 4-in-1 beast that's setting the gold standard for performance. We're talking two ingredients for blood flow to keep that rocket pumping. Mix with apomorphine and oxytocin to turn up the arousal and connection in your brain and body. Blue Chew Gold dissolves under your tongue and works in as little as 15 minutes. That means you can get it on quicker and stay in the game longer. Elevation without hesitation. This is peak passion and peak performance from a single tablet. I'll tell you what, if I didn't have two kids, I'd probably be using this Blue Chew every single night. Make life easier by getting harder and discover your options at BlueChew.com. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Get 10% off your first month of Blue Chew Gold with code TALKTALK. That's promo code TALKTALK. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Now back to the show.
Part of the reason that I wanted to come here today is because not only I wanted to show that like whatever people think is beef between our channels or whatever, it's just like wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, it might get clicks, but like we still hang out.
Yeah.
Like, we're still friends.
We're still homies.
We were all pretty tight and pretty close.
Yeah.
And so it's
close together for so many years.
Oh, yeah.
No one really understands. I think, and then like, it's weird because we always had a stance at Donut where like you never like respond to it, you know, like you don't need to address it. Yeah. Like let people think what they want. And then unless it's like something terribly huge, but with like the drama and small talk shit like that, like don't even, you know, like we'd ever like there are always comments where they say some stuff about Donut and you know, like we're not like invading each other's space and taking, you know, like there's plenty for everyone. There's enough. It's so much out there. Like I looked at the stat the other day and it was like just the fact that you have like a million subscribers is like you're in like 0.005% of all YouTube channels. Like Donut has close to 9. I'm coming up on 10. Yeah, yeah. You know, like that's a crazy number. That alone is just like, and we're all super proud of that. You know, like we all helped that happen.
Contributed to most 100%. Of that.
Yeah. So when people like, I never, you know, like get upset about Donut stuff. Part of why we're here today, you know, like I always look at it as a huge stepping stone to my success in my life. Like if I didn't have Donut, I wouldn't be here, you know? So 100%. I think it's like, it's helped us and there's no beef there. I still, you know, in a perfect world, it would have maybe changed a little bit and gone a little bit differently.
I think it worked out pretty good because in the end, like you own all this.
Yeah.
You guys are all co-owners. I think that should be the goal at the end of the day.
Exactly. Like, and that's really
the shit that you produce.
Yeah. And that was really the driver of all this is that's what we all wanted, you know?
Yeah.
And so even if things were perfect at Donut, that wouldn't change the fact that I wanted to have my own thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But now it's hard though.
Yeah.
You know, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Hard to have your own thing. It's like
it definitely makes it apparent how much help we had at Donut.
Yeah, you know?
That we had a bunch of people. We had a bunch of people that did a lot of the things that now we just have to do. Yeah, so.
And it, you know, like ambition is a mother. You know, like it's one of those things. I've always been a fairly ambitious person, and I think like sometimes you just think, you know, wouldn't it be nice if you just were just kind of complacent and just kind of like chilled. And I think
got a paycheck.
And I think like, you know, there are times when it's like rough over here and I'm like, I should have just stayed at Donut, man. I should have just ridden it out. But then I know I would have been, you know, like I would have been upset in a different way.
Yeah. Right.
So it's like, it all worked out for, you know, for the best. And I think like ultimately, you know, like you and Colby and Jimmy and all of the Adam, the kind of guys who were there with us, you know. I want you guys to have just as much success, not more, you know.
Yeah. And to be totally frank, like it's not like any of us are getting rich.
Yeah.
We're all making way less money than we were. It's just
now we get to say like it's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if there's a huge upside in the future, then we get it.
Yeah, this non-money making operation, we own that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic.
I think there's pride in that though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There better be.
And I think like we, you know, like one of the big things was, you know, like for example, I don't want to shit on your Blue Chew ad, but you know, we were doing ads where I was just like, I do not want to do this ad, but we had to do them. And I think like that's a big thing. One of the big reasons is just like, we're not going to endorse shit that we don't use, you know, like we're going to make the videos that we want, you know, like, and maybe they're weird and maybe they're one off and maybe they lack a little bit of focus or direction and the programming might be a little bit like wonky, but it's what we want to do.
Yeah.
You know, and we want to work with the set of partners that help us make those videos. And there's no like, you know, there's a ton of like integrity in that. And I'm like super proud of that.
That's awesome.
Know? Yeah.
So you are doing all the sales right now, right?
No, not just me, but I do a lot of them. But we have like a couple other people that I, you know, it's probably like 70-30 right now. I'm doing about 70% of like the sales stuff.
Is Hannah still here?
Hannah does, she's not like on big time, but she'll bring in certain partners for me.
Yeah,
I guess commission. Yeah. And that's like really the biggest thing where these guys probably are annoyed half the time with me because I'm like over there on a call, we're trying to film and I'm trying to lock down a deal with like Mobile One, or I'm like, you know, and it's been like 6 months in the making, like that's the,
and they're like telling you to shush or something.
well no, it's like, Jerry, like, you need to get over here and be in this video. You know, like I think like that's been a struggle, is like trying to get Joby and I like on camera together as best as we can. But it's like, it's almost, it's been a lot of like conquering, like divide and conquer.
Yeah. Sure. Especially to keep one coming out a week, you know, like if we are both in a video, that's great. And we have a ton of fun. Maybe it's even a better video, but then both of our time is there and it needs to be kind of split up.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we're working at trying to like build the team up so that we can, you know, either make less videos or be, you know, in a way to where like the production makes more sense for us to not have to do a video a week. You know?
We're working on getting some of the sales off Jerry's back. We got Connor now. It's helping out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's, but you know, it's not going to happen overnight, right? Like we're going to have to just kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's a process.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're just heads down, you know, doing the work, eventually you're just going to like look up and event, it's going to be profitable.
Yeah.
It's going to go a little bit easier. You can hire more people.
Yeah.
It's just baby steps.
Yeah. It's like one foot in front of the other and just kind of remember, like, I do this, I'm real bad at it. And they know, like, I'm like super psycho about getting shit done. And I get like very bold nosed about like, hey, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And like, I point toward it and I like, you know, made myself sick a lot last year.
You know, he's got like, vertigo, dude.
I genuinely like, and there are some videos where people are like, Jared, like, we like that you're doing videos, green? But can you please like get some rest? Like, we love you, which is so nice. Thank you for people who see me and I look like shit on camera. My bags are all eyes.
I think I've talked with you more than anyone here, maybe Job a little bit, but you've confided in me a little bit that like managing is driving you crazy.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like trying to like manage people is a thing that I am not best suited for. You know, like that's
not my... You have to have a lot of patience.
You got to have a lot of patience. I've had a lot of blow-ups, you know, like...
Blow-ups? Are you guys sponsored by pull-ups?
I've had some you know, tempers. That's
baby humor.
Sorry,
daddy baby humor.
I can't help it.
Yeah, I mean, I think like... For me, it's always difficult because it's like I have high expectations for everyone. And
so you're
kind of
holding everyone to your standard.
Right, which is not necessarily fair, right? And I've like, as I've gotten into this, also learned like, well, there's like a psychology in working with people. And I have never been the type of person to have enough patience for that. I'm like a little, you know, I'm an engineer at the end of the day. Like, I'm just like, here's the facts. This is what we need to do. Yeah. Go do it. Right.
You can't fix a person like you can an engine.
Exactly. You just can't. Like, you have to be able to like talk to certain people a particular way. You have to be able to, you know, like each person needs to be, you know, like, validated in a particular way, or you know, there's
I think especially when it's, you know, it's not only it's a professional group, but we are all to a certain extent friends, so it's weird when
it's hard
all
to
of
tell
a sudden
your
you start managing
they're...
like
right.
yourself, yeah. but also your friends, but also it's
because you know everyone's working hard, right?
Yeah.
But we also have a standard, and like, you know, that was a big reason why I left, is because I was like, well, my face is associated with this, but I don't necessarily have control. Well, now we do. So if it doesn't meet the like standard, I'm going to have to say something. And that's tough, especially when it feels like it's your buddy and maybe you've said it a few times, you know? So
you
it's
have
like
to be real with them.
Yeah, so like managing the like friendship and the business part of it is super super tough. It's been like really hard, I think. And I think like we've gotten a lot better at it, and it's gotten better. It's only going to get better as long as like we continue to, you know, like talk about it. I think that's another thing too. Like a lot of times guys will just like bundle shit up and not say anything and just like build and build and build. And then you like catastrophize things. You become your own worst enemy. You start thinking that other people are thinking all this shit about you. And then it comes out as just like, oh no, I never thought that. Like, oh, I never thought that either. I'm just like, okay.
And really part all of you had to do is talk.
All you had to do was talk. But, but there's something about, you know, like.
This is like a big high stakes gamble that everybody's livelihood is riding on, right? So it gets a little intense at times.
Yeah,
you know?
There's emotions wrapped up in it.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying their best, but sometimes.
But I think on the flip side, you know, like you said it earlier, I think when you were saying like, when you do put your head up and you see all this stuff, right? I think aside from the success and the money, it's really rad when you look up and you're like, oh,
100%.
We're putting a 4AG in that thing today, and that's our gig today.
Like, and even like, just, like when we have events and stuff, like 2 weekends ago at Smorgasburg, like people just showing up and not only like expressing their like gratitude for us making the content, but just caring about this project or what's going on next or whatever. It's a huge blessing. Yeah. I mean,
dude,
obviously we couldn't
do
this without it, but I mean, it's the kindest people that really like care about what we're doing and feel attached to it, which is,
that's awesome.
What
that's
more
all
could
you can
ask for.
And you see it like we've sold like, this is all our shirts, like seeing people wear our shirts. Is it's such a cool thing.
Yeah.
You know, I had a buddy come over here. He was one of the guys I write comedy with. And he was just like grinning ear to ear. He's like, you ever just like look back and be like, this is pretty cool. And I literally was like, I don't think I've ever done that. You know, I don't think I've ever, it's not my personality. I'm always, you know, it's like a sin to not kind of live in the moment, but it is, you know, like a great thing to look up and be like, hey, this is what we built. This
came out of
nothing.
That's one of the best things about people stopping by, is that it like forces you to kind of like, oh yeah, this is pretty f-ing cool, isn't it?
You don't have to like front porch it and be like, well, it's not that cool, but I'll let you in for a second. Like, sorry, it's kind of messy.
Yeah, no, it's cool to see other people like And we just like the other week, there was kind of an impromptu car show. People were coming through.
That's awesome.
And just like all, just saying so many nice things. And it forces you to take a second to realize.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I think, you know, it's like we're so lucky. Right. Like if we were just a group of guys trying to start a YouTube channel out of nothing, like to have this in this amount of time would be,
it'd be insane. Yeah. Yeah. It's just not possible for like truly a blessing. And, you know, I think like part of it, it's hard because, you know, like we have such high standards. So we compare ourselves to other, you know, groups or channels
bigger
and
teams.
Bigger teams.
But we've been at it for like 18 months.
Right.
You know?
So it's like, we're doing pretty good.
Right?
Yeah, on big time. But comparison's the thief of joy, you know? So it's like, you got to always remind yourself that because you can always, you know, look at a different creator and be like, oh, they're doing this or doing that or, you know, like, like why aren't we doing that? And it's just like.
In comedy, I used to compare myself to people who would like get lucky at 21 and get on a, you know, syndicated show or something. And you can't do that. Like you have to just be happy.
You gotta follow your path. Your
Your path is your path.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can't, as long as, you know, I say this all the time. I told someone this the other day, which is like my like strength, you know how Joby's absolute, like you said, amazing on being able to like distill information down and like be able to produce it like flawlessly on camera. Like I'm not that way at all. You know, like the boys will tell you how much useless data there is of me screaming at myself, being like, just say it right, Jerry. Just say it right.
I remember
just
this.
Say it. You know, just
the meltdowns,
say it.
Dude.
The meltdowns. You
there's gigs of footage.
There's literal gigs of footage on the donut servers of me being like, just say it right, you know? So that's not what I'm good at. What I'm good at is just being persistent, you know, like that's it. And that's what I think, like, you know, it's hard when you see someone just get instant success. You're like, damn, man, I wish it could be that easy, but then they got other demons.
Yeah. And know? I think it's a double edged sword. Honestly, like I think if I had found success at 21, I'd probably be dead.
Well, I'm glad you did it.
Yeah.
Too many good drugs.
You didn't have success, and you were almost dead when you got hit by a car.
Yeah, so I almost found a way anyway.
So you could, you almost found a way to do it.
So I mean, all things considered, I think things are working out just fine.
Yeah. I do want to talk to Kanan if he's
joined the hot seat. Kanan,
come on, Kramer.
Just for your last 10 minutes.
You know he's fighting it.
He comes to my lap.
Just okay, so everyone knows real quick. I'll do a pre-intro to Kramen. Okay.
Kramen?
Kramen.
That's what we call him.
That's what I call him. I call him Kramen.
Come on, Kramen.
Come here, Kramen. From the hit comedian Kramer.
Welcome to the stage, the Kramen. all right, I wanted to bring Kanan up because Kanan was one of my first real friends at Donut, and we had kind of opposing computers, and I would swivel my chair around and see me in brown face on Photoshop. And he'd be like, look at this.
Thank you.
He'd be like, okay, can you please take that off your desktop?
It wasn't brown face, it was like crunch. Like, you just took the saturation and went like,
I mean, crunch the chocolate bar? Come on,
Kate. That's what it would turn into.
So that's really just Joe's natural tone.
It's Joe's natural tone, yeah. It was like red turning to chocolate. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I always tell Daisy, my partner, that Joe was my first friend at Donut.
Yeah. And you introduced me to Clowncore, which it still pops up on my shuffle.
What's Clowncore?
Clowncore, is that a type of music?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is it a type of music or just kind of one? I guess it's a type
of music. It's like one band.
Clowncore is like a precursor to penis music.
That's cool being... Having your own genre.
I don't know if people know what penis music is either.
Yeah, check it out.
Penis music as a way to describe clown music
with more esoteric.
It's deeper cut than that.
I think some people
do you know what penis music is.
What's penis music?
Play some penis music.
Play some penis music.
Is this penis music?
Is it online? You can play it.
No,
right?
You definitely cannot.
You can't. Oh, it just,
you gotta buy that.
It just has a phrase. Yeah, to say. Is this penis music?
Look it's up like AI Boxy, slop. Now this is what I call penis music.
And it be ready.
It's because
be it slaps.
Yeah, it's we'll turn some on in a minute, Joe. You'll love it.
Yeah, dude. Okay. Penis music. Is this penis music? And then it's stuck in everyone's
head. Is that a horse?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway. When did you come in to
like Donut? Right before COVID? Because like my biggest memory from that time, or some of my biggest memories, is I worked at home
for way longer than I ever worked with anybody. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think I worked at Donut for like 3-4 months. Uh-huh. And then COVID happened.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. So we started at similar times.
Yeah, I do remember Kanan being at the office. I also remember Kanan's story because I did, and it kind of made sense because Kanan, I was like, that guy goes to the bathroom a lot. And then I remember
going to the bathroom
just because
Google
I was
stuff.
On the edge. And so like people would always pass by me. And there's just like subconscious, you know, thing about, you know,
counting
bathroom visits. It's just like people that like are getting up. And Kanan would all like later, years later, be like, which I always loved about him, and it's like a testament to like Kanan's like, you know, ability to like learn and like get better, was he was like, I didn't know what I was doing. So I would go to the bathroom and look up YouTube videos on how to do it and then come back.
How to edit.
Yeah. You know, and try to do it. God. And I was like, yo, that's sick. Like, that's one of the things that is like such a, like, one, to admit that is great. And two, it's like tells people like, you know, even if you're not necessarily qualified for the job, as long as you act like you are, you're going to figure it out.
You try your hardest.
Like,
yeah,
that's Kanan's superpower too. I got just figuring shit out.
Right time, right place too. We were so right before Donut started to get really big.
We were so scrappy at that time. Yeah. I don't think anyone would have batted an eye if you were just on YouTube watching it at your desk.
Yeah. Because I applied initially as an intern because my friend Ben Bartel had worked there doing a series called
Miracle Whips?
Frenemies.
Oh, yeah.
Frenemies.
Yeah, he did. And you got his old computer with the search bar stuff, huh?
And he told me to hit up Redpath. And then so I applied as an intern and didn't hear anything back.
Mm-hmm.
And then like for months or something, 2 months, I was like, oh, whatever. And then Redpath just like hired me as an editor. So I don't know if he just like didn't read the email or forgot or something, but he's like, yeah, just come in and like edit and like you'll be like an AE.
That's
so I was like, okay. And I just kind of was like,
and what editing experience did you have at that
literally
point?
Like I had, you know, a couple music videos that I had done, sure. You know, like pretty much nothing.
Yeah,
especially in Premiere I had done like pretty much nothing, but that's why I applied as an intern. I'd always wanted to learn how to edit.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I got right time, right place, got pretty lucky in terms of like people looking back now, like you're saying, I'm like, people had to have known that I didn't really know what I was doing.
Well, I didn't work with you, so I didn't know. I just knew like this guy, this like skater kid, hot boy.
There's no way Redpath didn't know, like, this guy doesn't know what the f- he's doing.
Yeah.
But I think I got along with everyone enough.
I bought a radar gun for my baseball league.
Yeah, I remember
and
you
I
guys
brought
did
it
this.
In and I was like,
itching oranges?
Yes. Tangerines. Yes. What is it? Clementine, the small
Clementine,
one.
Yeah.
And Kanan threw a 64-mile-an-hour fastball with a Clementine, and it hit the fence and just, like, segmented.
Yeah, I was like, the slow-mo guys should have filmed it or something.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That's sick.
That's why they kept me.
Yeah.
But then you were like, your arm hurt for two years.
Yeah, I remember that. You were like, you had, you needed Tommy John surgery after that. Yeah.
Those are fun days.
Those are good days. Yeah. I mean,
we had a lot of good days.
I always look back at those days as like I was in the same boat as Kanan. You know, it wasn't like I had ever written a YouTube video before or made a YouTube. I wrote sketch and characters and stand, you know, like I had written comedy, but I didn't write a piece front to back 30 minutes about a car, you know, like, so it was a little bit of an imposter syndrome too for me, but I always looked
and
at it.
And looking back at those episodes, like, they suck.
Yeah, they're not good.
There's a lot of them that are
really bad. They're so bad.
Yeah.
It was also like, they're terrible. Like, you look at them, you're like, what kind of intro was that?
They have like 2.3 million views.
I know. And they're still getting views. And people are like still saying like, I love you on Bumper Bumper. I'm like, bro, I don't do that anymore. I don't do that no more, bro. Like, I think like, but.
And it is funny. It's like one of the, like, though, like of anything we'll ever do outside of YouTube, mm-hmm. that will have the most eyes on them forever.
Forever.
Kind of a funny, weird, like, thing.
So you gotta, you know, you can't be so precious with it. We were learning, you know? It was like, I always treated it as like the graduate school of media.
We were super lucky in that way. Yeah.
Lucky to just like be around a bunch of people who might not have known much more than you.
Everyone was figuring out at the same time.
But you're figuring it out, and you're also like, you have a platform that you get to test it in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
Which is like so valuable.
And I will say, I don't think you're looking at it through like the lens of you made it.
Yeah, for sure.
It probably doesn't suck as much as you think. And it also is what I think is beautiful about YouTube is it's supposed to be a little bit gritty. It's supposed to be like unpolished.
Yeah.
And I think the way that YouTube is going now is it's just going to turn into TV eventually.
Sure. You know? I think it already is, basically. Yeah.
Right, but that's one of the best things. Very conducive to kind of throwing stuff at the wall to see if there's anything there.
Yeah.
Rather than having to, like, you know, do a whole season of something before you put it out.
Yeah.
Make a video and put it out and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, that was like RMS. Like, RMS was like a whole, this is a video series.
I directed the first three RMSs.
Oh, yeah.
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 And it was just
those
like,
those are my favorite ones.
And I remember like not really knowing what to do. And you, and I was just having everyone explain the same thing. And I was like going to cut it together.
Well, and part of that stuff, like, you know, if you've got a group of people that have a rough idea and are like a fun group of people that are going to have fun, something decent, something at least fun to watch is probably going to come out of it.
And that's probably what's cool. I haven't seen how you guys operate, but being such a small team, you can move quick. You can make decisions quickly, you know, divert to a different video if you need to.
Yeah, you have to. Like, I mean, the other day, we...
I mean, this past month, none of the shoots have gone to plan.
Oh,
like,
man.
It's been brutal.
It's been terrible.
It's just been one of those, like... It's just been one of those months that's just been absolutely brutal. Dude. Where you just, like, look up and you're just like, YouTube gods, what the f***? Can we catch a fucking break, please?
One of the producers, Donut, was like, get your shit in order because Mercury's about to be in retrograde. And I don't ever subscribe to that shit. But the next day, our whole family got the flu. Our nanny called out. So, like, I had to work and take meetings and, like, also take care of my family while having the flu. Mm-hmm. None of the shoots worked out. It was horrible.
Yeah, it happens. It you know, and when you're working on cars specifically, like we did this C20 episode, like that was like a 10-day shoot, which is just like, what the f-? The engine blew up during an episode of on the Mustang that we're supposed to do. Like,
have you talked about that? Like, that we literally haven't driven the Mustang more than like 300 feet.
I mean,
well, we drove it once, a couple times.
Well, but the power steering pump went up, right?
And then post rebuild, we drove it around my block a couple times for pre-tuning,
right?
And a couple dyno runs, and then we went to Borla to film a whole episode, and it came apart on the dyno at Borla.
Right.
It's one of those things where, like, we were kind of aware that something was off, but like couldn't really stop the things that we had in motion, and it came apart.
But even though that process creates more work for you, does it do better views?
Depends. It kind of depends.
Yeah. I mean, it for one thing, it gives us more content to make, right? When something breaks, then we have another thing to do, to fix and whatever. I think that kind of content is very relatable, right? Like, you know, all the kids out there messing with their own cars, they're going to have problems. So I think it's valuable to see people like us have problems as well.
It's super relatable.
You know, of course we could like edit around that stuff and like omit things going wrong probably, but I don't think
we would have the time.
Yeah, that's the big thing.
It's that's like, the thing that sucks is like when it breaks, you have to go, okay, but what do we do?
That
sucks.
We want to like, and we also like, you know, one of the goals is like, hey, try to see what it's like living with doing a video every week for a year, you know, or six months or whatever it is.
You created this prison.
But I think like once you see what it's like, I think you need to go into the prison to figure out how to break out.
Yeah.
You know, like that is like one of
at least like raise the ceilings of the prison.
Right. Yeah.
That's a classic Jerry mentality.
Yeah. Learn what it is like to suffer.
How are we
going
to break out of prison if we're not in there in the first place?
Yeah. I mean, I like to go in depth. I apologize. I'm putting the fucking, what was that? Remember the show Prison Break where the guy puts his, he tattoos.
He's got a tattoo.
But I think like, you know, we don't, everyone is in agreement that we're not going to be like this all the time.
Sure.
Like, but it's like we're super fortunate because if we were just starting a business, right, just from scratch where we didn't have a following or nothing, you got to assume like you're going to struggle for 5 years.
Like wouldn't even do it.
Right.
Like,
it's so difficult. Yeah. Right. So we're blessed that we're already started up here.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so like it would be a real sin for us to not take this opportunity that we have been given and blessed with and really run with it. So like, that's where the crazy part of my brain comes in. I was just like, I don't want to lose this, you know, because we've worked so hard to get there. But also I know like, everyone's well-being is way more important than us doing a video a week, you know? And like, how do we position ourselves? And is it, you know, like part of it is just like help. Like we need help. We need editor help. We need writer help and like assembling the team. And so like, that's probably why Kanan was hired, is because like one of the big things at Donut when you hired someone was, hey, can you chill with this person?
Yes.
That's the number one thing. Can you chill with them? Because if you can be with this person for 12 to 16 hours a day,
then
we can help you figure out how to like hone your skill at helping us.
Yeah.
But if we can't chill with you, then it's not gonna work.
If you're asking too many questions, if you're like, the same with Hollywood Productions. There's a reason that the same crew works on every movie together.
Right.
You trust the people that you work with. And build it doesn't matter. Yeah, it doesn't. If you trust them, then you trust their ability to grow and learn and become better at their job.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's almost like a pyramid scheme where then they can, you know, train other people how they were trained.
Right.
That was, I think, the enigma or the
paradox.
No, like the one crazy thing about like Sawtelle Donut was that you had a group of people that like all got, like, I did not get along with anybody.
Yeah.
There. Like that's a crazy thing that I don't think has happened once maybe in my life in some other aspect where you had a group of people that were kind of similarly minded and focused on doing like, looking back on it all now, like that was,
yeah,
it was
crazy.
Like a bunch of
find that again,
like a preschool where preschoolers are also in charge,
and
they're all teaching each other,
but they're figuring it out,
and somehow,
there's like a couple college preschoolers are just like, we should go over there and try that, and they're like, okay, let's do it, why not? And be like, this is pretty cool over here,
and then we figured out how to put it on the internet, turns out other preschoolers are into it,
Let's
play some penis music.
And by the way, talking about the donut days of just complete chaos when no one was policing anyone, Kanan was the guy he was the leader of this. This guy is already a monster.
It's crazy that I get like chastised for being the guy that made people have fun. Like, I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't that we were all having fun. We were just like, I pull up into work.
Hey, let's do something fun.
Kanan would be like this with his belly out with a pistol in his pouch.
Okay. I just had a maybe trauma memory come back. But I remember hiding behind cars because you were on the roof with a paintball gun with markers in it. You're shooting.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you're shooting like Sharpies.
Shoot the Sharpie.
Showed me that?
Yeah.
And I was man, they fit nice.
Didn't we used to shoot each other with the pellet? Oh, yeah. We would do one pump pellet shoots with the gun. Pellet. One pump. And we would shoot each other in the butt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kanan was a big leader in that.
Well, I remember Kanan was also like the rule maker for all the games that we made up too. He'd be like,
"Oh, you can't do this." I'll admit that I do that.
Yeah, Kanan likes making the rules. Also, Joby, you don't know what Joby's superpower is being able to distill information unless it's the rules of wall ball.
Listen, I never was given the rules clearly.
Dude, yes, you were, brother.
Nope.
I have multiple, can't even.
Well, of course he's going to say,
because
he's the rule guy.
I get it, but I was also there hearing the rules and like we would be playing and Joby does this classic thing like he would up and be like, you're out, but he's like, what, hold on, that's a rule? And he'd be like, yes, bro. Yeah, yes, bro. And then it would happen all the time. But yeah, Kanan was the ringleader in the days of no rules,
dude. He made up the best games. We still have the bottles on our I-beams.
What are people gonna take away about me from this podcast?
Okay,
he didn't know anything.
Went to the bathroom a lot.
He kind of sucked, but everyone kind of liked him.
Yeah, everyone loves you, Kanan.
And then he was like shooting people all the time.
Okay, here's what
shirt off a lot.
Kanan has the
big. I love this.
Kanan has the biggest heart. Yeah. He's one of the hardest workers. He's super persistent and likes to learn new things.
He's a chiller.
He's a chiller.
Certified chiller.
Certified chiller.
Pretty good at pool.
He's very hot. And he's about to read the new Blue Chew ad for the podcast. So go,
no,
go take it away.
I'm not gonna make you do that.
Sorry about that. Joe, thank you, man.
Yeah. After I have to give a personal endorsement, so I gotta try it first.
Well, clearly, it's been working for you.
Yeah,
you got two kids,
one on the way.
We haven't revealed that yet.
That would be a great ad if you just show your kids running around. You're like,
Thanks to Blue Chew.
That would be a that would be a downer, dude. I'd be like,
I'm a dad.
I have kids just, like, if I use this stuff. At you.
Like, thanks to Blue Chew.
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of vision I'm lacking for these podcasts.
That's okay. We can help out.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Follow me at Joe G. Weber. Follow these guys at Big Time, Big Time.
I think the Instagram is Big Time, Big Time, Big Time.
Yeah. Big Time.
Jeremiah Burton, Zach Job. What's your Instagram?
Doesn't have one.
Felipe Armenta.
Yeah, Andy Paws.
Eddie Esparza.
Yep. Eddie,
all the homies.
Here.
Mike the Day.
Yeah, Mike the Day.
Yeah.
Follow us all.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks.